Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, this is the Cup of Tea podcast with me, Gareth Roberts. I'm joined by John Gibbons, Glenn Price from ESPN and Rob Gutman. We've convened today in the Anfield Rap studio to have a chat about Daniel Sturridge. This is normally a subscribe show. It's an off-the-cuff, unscripted podcast about anything we feel needs discussing and sometimes with special guests. But today, Glenn's a special guest. But today, we thought we'd have a chat about Daniel Sturridge because it felt quite a pivotal moment. I'll start with you, Rob. That he gets his chance, he gets his start, which he's seemed to have wanted for a while. He's been talking about, you know, he's the best striker on the books, the best finisher on the books and that sort of thing. He gets his big chance in the semi-final of a League Cup. He gets presentable chances during the game. He's trying to be influential in the game and not particularly succeeding, I wouldn't say. So it kind of feels that chat about his career being at a crossroads will now amplify from here on in.
Yeah, it's, you know, want to defend Daniel or criticise him, what he definitely hasn't come back as is that version of Sturridge we all hope for, the one champing at the bit. You know, the lad who scored goal, you know, a wonder goal in the Europa Cup final and unlucky to find himself out of contention when Mane comes and we're playing a strikerless system. And he's shown flourishes, hadn't he, in his cameos earlier in the season. League Cup, a couple of goals against Spurs. He'd looked the part. And I think it also against Burton, he scores two goals. He's come back into play recently with Mane and in bits and pieces Coutinho being out. And he's found himself deeper, whether by instructional or his own instincts. It hasn't looked right. It only looked good for two minutes against Everton when he sets up the goal for Mane. I would say I would defend him more than attack him just right now and remain on the side of let's bear with him, because against Plymouth, where he does get a start the other week, he's in a lot of good positions. He makes a lot of good runs and the ball doesn't quite arrive. And I thought last night, if he hadn't got any shots away, I'd go, that's a lot to worry about. I know it's a cliche, a striker, you know, at least he's in a position to miss him. But he does get into two very good chances and he does shift his feet and get one shot off in the first half. It's not vintage striker performance, but I think there's something I can work with there.
Do you think we're seeing almost a different Daniel Sturridge now, Glenn, in that, you know, that sort of the blistering pace in behind? He doesn't really seem to have that right now, whether that's he's never come back fully from the injury, whether that's a psychological thing. But there was certainly a moment against Southampton where he was in behind and he just didn't seem to travel very fast across the pitch.
Yeah, that sort of got winces from everyone in the crowd when they saw that. That was like probably just a reminder of all the injuries that he's had, and it takes a toll. It also might be a mental thing as well. It might be him not wanting to, you know, go 100% at that because, you know, for the fear that his hamstring could go or any other injury could flare up, because he got an injury at a really bad time, didn't he? It was a minor groin. I think it was he missed the Sunderland game, which Coutinho eventually got stretchered off in. That was a minor groin strain. It was stressed as a minor by the club, and then he just didn't feature for like the next month or something. I think the Everton game was the next time he made an appearance. So, you know, these injuries, although they've dropped considerably since Klopp's been at the club, you know, there are still issues there. And maybe he hasn't played that much recently, has he? And maybe he's just not fit enough at the moment. But yeah, it was a bit kind of sad seeing him, you know, not being able to get on the end of that run last night. And it did have a lot of people like concerned and set alarm bells going.
I mean, the other thing another reason I would say it, in my opinion now is days look numbered at Liverpool, Gibbo, is almost that, you know, Jürgen Klopp comes into the club and seems to very quickly decide, I'm not building my team around Daniel Sturridge. I'm building my team around Firmino, around a different system even. Either way, Sturridge kind of feels like a player that would want something built around him. He talks himself about how he undoubtedly rates himself. He doesn't lack for confidence, we know that. Is he really going to accept being a bit part player, which is what he's become so far this season? And also, can Liverpool afford for him to be a bit part player when he's, you know, he's rumoured to be on around £150,000 a week? Coutinho now on something similar, maybe a bit more, depending on what reports you believe and read. So, you know, that's a big chunk of money that Liverpool set aside for wages that's being taken up by Daniel Sturridge. Kind of feels to me that if a club come knocking now in the summer, rather than now in the summer, there could be a situation now where that could be considered right for the club and right for him.
Yeah, I expect him to go now in the summer, because I think we're going to add attacking talents, whatever happens, whatever, you know, we're going to be in Europe next season, whether it be Champions League, like we hope, or the Europa, and we're going to need more players, and we're going to add in the summer, and you feel like it's just another person that pushes Daniel Sturridge down the pecking order. Now, where I disagree with what you said slightly is that I think he'd back himself. I think he'd always think, well, I'll just find my way. I'll, you know, because I think his belief in himself and his own ability, I don't think has been shaken really. Maybe a bit in his own body, but not in his ability. So I think he'd back himself, whoever come in, to think, well, I just need my chance and I'll score goals and then he'll have to pick me. I think the football club might have other ideas. I think what you're right to point out about the value is true, and FSG sense they've come in for better or for worse, have, you know, have looked at these things and looked at what they're getting value for, and they made decisions on older players very quickly when they came in, the likes of Coit, Maxi, players who I felt still had things that they could offer Liverpool, but obviously it could, from FSG's point of view, not at the wages that they were on. You know, you're talking, you know, 100 grand plus. They were on those two, I think, by the end. And so I think they'll be looking at it, and I don't think Klopp will be too concerned either. I think he'd be happy to bank the money and to kind of use it in different ways. So that's what I'm expecting to happen now. And it's a shame, really, because, you know, you think about the player he's been for us and the quality, and really, you know, he should be in the prime of his career now. Was he 27? He's not old by any stretch of the imagination, but it just feels like you're looking at him and it just feels like one injury too many, maybe, and just one knock too many, really, and maybe better for him, even if he wouldn't necessarily admit it, to try maybe a different style, because it's relentless with how we want to play. And is his body kind of up to it, really? I'm not sure. It's funny because I think Klopp quite likes him as a player, and you know, but it's just how you kind of fitting him in, really, and the style of football he wants to play. And as you say, those wages, I think, will just be the tipping point.
I mean, it kind of feels like it's been, I mean, perhaps I'm harsh in saying this, but kind of feels like, Rob, that it's been like cameos for a while now from him, if you know what I mean. I'm looking at some of his stats here from Jordan's Liverpool career, and obviously, you know, he signed in January, isn't he? And so only 16 appearances in his first season with us, but that's January to the summer. 16 appearances, 11 goals. The following season, 13-14, that's where he really shines bright, obviously. 24 goals, 33 appearances. Since then, it's been, you know, 14-15, 18 appearances, 5 goals, 15-16, 25 appearances, 13 goals.
Which a lot of those are sub as well.
Yeah, and then current season, 19 appearances, 6 goals. So it does feel like he's slowly being edged out for one reason or another, doesn't it? And it doesn't feel like that's going to change. I mean, for instance, you don't see Firmino, for instance, going anywhere. And he's another player that Klopp obviously really rates. And when it comes down to choosing between the two, most of the time it's been Firmino. So Firmino, you would expect, would still be here next season. As Gibbo said, you would imagine Liverpool recruiting the summer as well, particularly when it doesn't look like they're going to do business this window. So it's sort of, you know, how does it change? How is there a huge catalyst for Daniel to have his Liverpool comeback, if you like? I just can't see where that comes from, really.
I think in terms of Klopp's mind, I think you're right. I think the mind's made up, and it's really hard to see a version of Daniel that would convince him that he's going to be one of his four, of which he'll pick three from, you know, that prime four. I think at the beginning of the season he'd have gone, yeah, I'm one of the four. I'll just about take that and I'll show, force my way in. And I find it hard to see how Klopp will do that. One of two things really happens from here on in. He either continues this stumbling form, let's be honest with ourselves, and he sees less and less game time and he's really only called upon in emergencies, in which case he's definitely gone in the summer and he's not getting better than West Ham or Stoke, quite frankly. And I fear where it could get a little messy is because of that big wage he's on, Liverpool may get a bit too keen to offload him. He may be thinking, you know, I don't want to play for a possible relegation fodder team. I'd rather sit here, Liverpool in Europe, get some game time and have my 150. He may become a different kind of person when he's faced with his reality.
Wasn't that a little sniff? It might have been an unreliable website. You know, that much information goes into my brain and outside the other, if you like that. It's hard to remember where it all comes from. But wasn't there a slight sniff of a story that Arsenal were interested in one?
There was. But
came from John Cross, I think.
I was coming on to that. I mean, there's two ways I see this going. Either it maintains the level it's at or gets a bit worse, in which case he's looking at relegation for the teams who suddenly think he were gambling on him, really. Or he actually comes in, he does really well. He scores some goals. Does what he does at the end of last season, in fact. If we go back to between February and May, Sturridge does really, really well there. If you go his games per minute ratio, it's better than a goal per two games. And he scores that important goal in the final. If we forget the goal he scores against Man U in Europa, I think he scores against in the semi-final, he scores a good goal against Everton. So although he did, even then we were saying the pace maybe not there, but the movement and the sharpness and the finish is still there. So if he looks a good version of Daniel, I still think he's off in the summer. It's just that if he looks a good version of Daniel, he might get Arsenal. He might. But even they will notice that he's hard to count on over a season.
I really don't think the Euros helped him at all.
No, I agree.
Because he came back, well, England didn't stay that long, but it meant that he reported to pre-season later. Klopp insisted on the players who were at the Euros having a three-week break. So he comes back later. In that time, Klopp's got time to work with Coutinho, Firmino and Mane in that three. Mm. And it was, I think, in all of the friendlies or the first few friendlies, that front three played.
Yeah.
And it was working like a treat. You could see like how well they were working together in tandem. And it's sort of like, I think Klopp had mentioned that, you know, he was going to probably play the players who he'd had the majority of the pre-season at the start of the season. And at Arsenal, you know, that three did play. So, you know, That Euro certainly didn't help, because towards the end of last season, you know, Sturridge was, you know, the starting striker, wasn't he? Started in the Europa League final, in all the big games. It's just a bit unfortunate. And you could say the same about, you know, Emre Can as well. He came back to the Euros later than anyone else because Germany did quite well. He hasn't been great, and neither is Origi, who also went to the Euros.
Do you think there's also a problem, though, almost that what one man wants from the other and vice versa, if you like? So what I mean by that is Klopp, obviously there's the emphasis on hard work, on pressing, on, you know, defending as well as attacking and all that sort of thing. Sturridge, he's been quite open and spoke before about how he considers himself a box player. I think a lot of people who've watched him down the years would agree that's where you want to see him, that's where he's got his magic, that's where he scores his goals. And so now it kind of feels like that when he is on the pitch, I mean, even, you know, against Southampton, he's really deep at times, like ridiculously deep. He's picking it up round and about Liverpool's box at times and trying to build play from there. And that's not where you want to see him. You don't want to see him dropping into midfield. But then you almost think, well, is the reason he's doing that almost, look, Klopp, I'm doing what you're saying, I'm working hard. Whereas if he was allowed to, for want of a better phrase, go long a bit, he'd probably get goals.
Or is he adapting his own game because of his body?
Issue.
Yeah, I think, you know, because you look at it, remember when we first got Sturridge and it was through balls, wasn't it? And it was the relationship he had with Phil Coutinho, and he was around the back and he was always there, and he'd be gone, and whether he just feels like he can't really do that anymore, you know, he hasn't got that. So he's just trying to get involved and kind of show, you know, the type of player he can be. I think his use of the ball is still really good. I noticed that even last night when he wasn't playing great, you know, how he can take it in certain situations and shield it and find a little angle. I think, you know, he could be a 10, I think, in a different system. But you think about, well, we don't even play with a 10 at the moment. Mm. But even if we did, you know, the amount of work that Klopp would be expecting from that person, and you just kind of don't really feel like, you know, Daniel's kind of got that in him for one reason or another. So I just think the more you kind of look at it, the more you think it's a tricky situation for him at Liverpool, and it's tricky to see how this works out well for him, really.
I mean, Rob, you mentioned some there, Glenn. I mean, just pure speculation, but do you see anywhere that could be a fit for him? You know what I mean? We mentioned Arsenal, but that seems a little bit, you know, that could be dependent on a lot of other things. Is there any other clubs out there that you think if they came in, that would feel like a good fit for Daniel and vice versa? Or
I think somewhere abroad might be a good fit for Daniel, because everything here is a story with him. Mm. Like, you know, he's not playing now, and you
his
know,
face even, when even, he's running up and down.
Even my news desk are asking about me to do something on stories this season. You know, because I'm not sure he likes that everything. You know, his comments get scrutinised, as we saw with there was after Burton when he said he didn't like playing out wide.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a striker saying he wants to play in the middle. Yeah, and then, you know, he's got this, like, people see him as lazy and arrogant, and, you know, he must be getting tired of that. I know footballers try and block it out, but it can affect you, can it? And if you go abroad, I don't know enough about European football to know which major team's in search of a striker who could afford his wages and the transfer fee, but, you know, I'm sure it might be something that would interest him.
I mean, we talked about it on other shows before, Rob, as well, but, I mean, just for this one as well, it does seem harsh, some of the perception issues of him, doesn't it? I mean, let's take football out of the equation first of all. He is genuinely a nice fella.
Yeah,
I think we're okay to say that. He has done stuff with the Anfield app before. Randy Heaton was lucky enough to interview him. He's a nice fella. He does nice stuff. He's been out to schools. He's done all that kind of stuff. So we know he's an all right fella for one. But a lot of it, there does seem to be a bit of he thinks he's this and he thinks he's that, and, you know, that's continually repeated as a strand of information when Daniel Sturridge is discussed.
Yeah, there's people who either want like him instinctively, like I think we do. I think he's charismatic. He's intelligent. You can see the positives. He's a good influence apparently on some of the young kids around Melwood. And I like his maverick streak, but I think there are others. I mean, I was in an away crowd a few weeks ago, and he comes on the pitch, and these lads behind me were just going, "You're lazy, Sturridge, you're lazy." He hadn't had a chance to do anything, but they just don't like the look on his face. And you know, we've talked at length about the lack of a song for him, or there's beginning to be here and there. You do feel for him in that respect. I think Glenn's point about the comparison to Emre Can, if you want to be positive or put it in a different context, it's not a bad one, really. Maybe we're just in danger of just damning him too quickly because of that history of injury. I suppose another way of doing it is he's been back since February last year now, so we're virtually a calendar year on, and he has only had that one three and a half weeks out in December. And it made him rusty again, because before then
it was a bad time because he was needed, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a possibility here we're being a bit overdramatic, because before that injury, I think we were all pretty excited about that Daniel could come in at any time. It said the other day on a podcast, seeing Sturridge's name on a team sheet made them smile every time. So you or Kopi, John?
If it was good line, it was me.
It was you, and I thought, yeah. That's just that was the case all season long. Let's be right. We were all looking forward to seeing him play in the League Cups. Yeah. We were all looking forward to seeing him getting a game. We all thought, yeah, he's still got something about him. It's only post this last injury. So it might be that we need to give him another couple of weeks. We might be falling into traps and rushing to judgment.
But what you said is right, though, and it is kind of an interesting side issue to all this, is that, like, the fan base is very split on him, and always kind of has been. And, you know, it's
been 4 years now, it's not going to change.
Yeah, and the Anfield rap's, and I've seen it said, people said, oh, the Anfield rap's so pro Sturridge and stuff. And I think they've got a point, to be honest with you.
I don't think about that.
I know, well, it's one of them, isn't it? It's like, well, you can't just go and find people and say, oh, does anyone hate Daniel Sturridge and come on a podcast? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of them things sometimes where one side's a bit more overrepresented. So I think people who say that have kind of got a point, but I don't really know what the solution is. But it is worth bearing in mind. Like, I've heard all the stuff in your ways. Like, I went to Plymouth, and when he got substituted off, the Plymouth fans were singing "Who Are You" at him, and there was Liverpool fans joining in, like, which is like a bit mad, really. Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? And so, like, you know, kind of it did all. And I think made this just something about him that people just kind of don't take to, really. And you know, it's one of those situations where that's kind of always going to be the case now. But his form does worry me at the moment. I can't remember the last time he did something you think, oh, bloody hell. That's the Daniel Sturridge, you know, and he used to get kind of two or three a game, not necessarily goals, but moments where, you know, you just kind of, you know, he'd wow you, and it does kind of doesn't.
I think that's what worries me. You know? I think that's almost why I wanted to have this chat and things, because what I saw last night, I'm not used to seeing that from him, because he there's been other times where he's come back from injury, obviously suffered a few at Liverpool, quite a few, and it's a big talking point in itself. But when he's come back, even when he hasn't been fully fit, it's almost always a goal threat regardless. Yeah. And then you always used to get excited about that, because you think, well, when he's fully fit, he's going to even be even more of a goal threat. And like last night, I think you're being kind to him, Rob, to just say, oh, well, you know, he's in the positions, but, you know, you expect to see him score from 4 yards or whatever last night. You know what I mean? And it's sort of, I don't know, I just felt like it felt like a big moment to me, that one. It's sort of like, if you're in and out and you know, other players are performing in your place, then when you do get your chance, you've got to take it. You know, football's harsh that way. And Klopp now is massively under the spotlight because, you know, things look like they're going a little bit wrong. People are going to be talking about plans for next season. And I just think it's interesting now the way that the player that you're all talking about, including me, or we miss X, it's no longer Sturridge. It's Mane now, isn't it? That's the player we're all pinning our hopes on again. And if you go back not so long ago, you know, Brendan Rodgers did press conference after press conference where he was basically saying, but when Sturridge is back, X, when Sturridge is back, Y. And, you know, now it seems like almost time's moved on and he's seen differently within the club.
Yeah, he is. I mean, even well into Jürgen's reign last season, he was almost getting weary of the questions about Sturridge. Mm. Like, you know, I think he almost got to a point where I remember he made a joke after Sturridge came back for him and scored two at Southampton in that 6-0, and going, ah, I see why you've all been pestering me now. He was that player, and it's really quite recent still. So I don't know. Yeah, you're right. There's a cultural shift. I mean, you know, it's a good thing that Jürgen has broken our reliance on him by the fact that we talk about Mane. We talk about Mane and Coutinho, and probably we talk about Firmino well ahead of Sturridge at the moment. I mean, it was interesting even last season, the fact that Divock Origi had that purple patch where he actually ousted Sturridge. Didn't he, at one point?
Sturridge only gets back in because Origi gets injured against Everton.
So, you know, it's positive signs for the club that we talk about three or four players. It almost looked, there was a period without him, it looked like we just did not know where a goal was coming from. That's what got so critical, I think. Now, you know, under Jürgen, we've been the biggest scorers in the country for the best part of a year, haven't we? And without a huge contribution from him. So that's a good thing, that.
Okay, so to finish then, just before I die, I'll go around the table. This time next year, is he a Liverpool player?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, and I'll be sad about that.
I'm saying no as well. John, I'm just about to have a cough and fifth, so would you like to plug stuff we've had on Tour Player this week?
Yeah, I will do. So this is the example of the kind of shows we're putting out quite a lot on Tour Player, but this week's been a bit of a belter, really, despite the football. We've had Paco Yestrian in, who used to be assistant manager at Liverpool under Rafa Benitez. He was great to come in. He did an in-depth analysis of the Swansea game and almost made it a bit more enjoyable and things like that. He's recorded a couple of other stuff for us as well that'll be coming out in the future. We did a Central League show. We recorded that today. That'll be out. That's our focus on the academy. So we talked about Steven Gerrard going back and got a bit of insight into what people are saying at the academy about that happening, but also the latest on the under-23 and under-18s games. You've just recorded a pro review, haven't you, with Steve Warnock?
Yeah, he was really good as well. He's now stepping in, and he is the professional footballer that we'll speak to on the pro review. He's very honest, very revealing in some of the stuff that he came out with in the hour we had with him. So that's well worth a listen. All of this comes under the umbrella of Tour Player, which is our subscription podcast service. £5 a month for around 30 shows, all Liverpool FC.
Can I plug a show?
Based Yeah, of course you can
raw
make
raw transfer gossip and filth in the gutter show. Although the last week we didn't have many names to talk about, but it's always fun to do. And we go large on it during the transfer windows if you've not listened before.
So yeah, if you're interested and you've never subscribed, if you go to the Anfield Apps website, theanfieldapp.com, go to the subscription page. It's fairly self-explanatory what you do from there on in. Hope you've enjoyed this free taster of one of our subscription shows. As ever, you know, tweet us, send us a Facebook message, follow us on Instagram, look us up on YouTube, all of those things. Let us know what you think about Sturridge as well. Thanks, and I hope you listen again soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.